God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 16th day of January, 2011, and you're listening to our Sunday evening broadcast. Today's sermon is taught by our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, and it is entitled, Principles of Serving. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you're listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks again for listening.
Appreciate it. Amen. Wow, Stan, you cleared up a lot. Now I remember why I can't make layups. I've always wondered why I couldn't make layups. It's got to be that incident. Well, that's my story, and I'm sticking with it. Amen. Well, Mark chapter 10, as we head into part 2 this evening, let's stand and reread our passage here. Mark chapter 10. As we get back into the element of serving and the importance of it, choose you this day whom you will serve. And, of course, our whole theme today deals with serving, and tonight, choosing a ministry to serve in, the importance of it. We'll go over a few principles here tonight before we head over there and over to the gym and for some fellowship time and also to sign up. And I want to challenge you, the sign-up is also for everyone to re-up. So every year you say, well, I'm already in that ministry. We'd like you to re-sign up and so that director knows that you're still with them, okay? And so that'd be a really good thing to do, get involved in that, sign up for that. It'd be a blessing for sure. Well, Mark chapter 10, if you were working in one of the classes this morning, is where we were at. We're going to pick it up in verse 32. Jesus is heading to that final week. He's on his way back to Jerusalem, and it says, and they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid, and they took again the 12, and he began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests, unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and they shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? And they said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on the right hand and the other on the left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And they said to him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of and with the baptism that I am baptized. With all shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. When the ten heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, You know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Lord, we come to you now, hearing your great words, the great truth that you gave your disciples that still applies to us today. Lord, open up our hearts and minds to receive it now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, this morning we began to look at what was taking place here and went through just a little bit of the story for you. Just to recap it real quick, Jesus is going up, this is it. You know, this is the final week. So by the time they get there, it's going to be the final week. He's going to be crucified. We read in verses 33 and 34, he explains it, and I mean complete detail. We talked this morning, no vagueness, you know, no hiding it, no parables. It's like, I'm going to go to the chief priest, I'm going to be mocked, spit upon, put to death, then I'm going to rise again. This is how it's going to happen. I mean, lays it all out is what he does. And what a wonderful thing, makes it very clear as it's ever been. We talked about this in detail this morning. I mean, you can go back, and when you read sometimes, you and I come from the vantage point of knowing the Word of God, and sometimes we forget they're getting information they don't fully understand. In other words, we're looking back at everything. They're looking at a portion. But by the time we get to this time in Christ's life, he's unveiling the complete story to them. He's explaining what's going to happen, how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen, why it's going to happen. Everything's laid out on the table. You'd think they'd go, wow, man, we got it. But they missed it, did they not? And we talked this morning about the disciples became preoccupied with what they wanted out of their life, with what they were trying to accomplish. And James and John come, and verse 35, they come right after this great speech, this great revealing, and the first thing out of their mouth is, hey, we got a question. Could you give us whatever we asked for? You know, and we parallel to Matthew 20, you know, their mom was there. That's always fun. And so mommy came along too, you know, and kind of aided this situation. So mom and James and John asked a special request, and Jesus in his graciousness begins to explain who gets those seats. And he says, listen, that's basically already prepared for someone to be my right hand and my left hand. It's not mine to give to you. And he was saying, not that he wasn't involved. People misinterpret that. Okay. Not that he wasn't involved in it. He is God. Okay. But in that, it's already prepared. That'll be given out one day, but not right now. It's not being presented right now. And I know I told you to ask and it shall be given unto you. But remember this, you can ask things from God, but it needs to be according to his will. And I can just tell you, as you look at this passage, this wasn't according to his will. As a matter of fact, they were pretty preoccupied with themselves. They were preoccupied with what they wanted to accomplish, what they wanted to get done. And so that's kind of how we ended it this morning, talking about their preoccupation. And let's just be honest, we do the same thing. You know, as we get mad at these two and say, how could they do that at this time? How often do we go to church or do we go anywhere? And what's on our mind is what we want, what we desire, rather than what God wants or someone else desires. And so it's a great reminder to say, hey, let's wake up. And remember, it's not about us. Now, tonight, I want to just give you some principles that we see in this passage on serving. They're not new principles to you, but it's a great reminder to us as we really get going. James Packer, in one of his articles, wrote this. Servant, in our English New Testament, usually represents the Greek doulos, which means bond slave, or diakonos, which means minister or deacon. And those are synonymous, by the way. Those do work together hand in hand. One means bond slave. The other one is a deacon or minister, which is also a bond slave. He elaborates this way, though, and he says this. Both words denote a man who is not at his own disposal, but is his master's purchased property. Did you catch that? I mean, both words mean this. Doulos or diakonos mean this. I've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God. Why? Because he bought me. In other words, I'm no longer my own. The whole connotation of servanthood, when you study it, is that. It has a taste that we as Americans don't like. It doesn't have the taste of being in charge. It doesn't have the taste or the flair of me getting to choose my own way. Oh, on the contrary, when the Bible talks about serving, it says, hey, I'm here to submit to say, whatever you want, here we go. Hey, I'm at your disposal. You want me to do whatever, Jesus Christ? I will do whatever you tell me to do. I don't care how dirty it is. I don't care how glamorous it is. I mean, whatever it is at any scale, you tell me to do it, and I'm going to do it. Boy, wouldn't it be nice if we had that mentality all the time? I mean, the fact of the matter is, most of the time, we don't live that way. Most of the time, let's just be honest, we want things our way. We do. We're selfish individuals. We're preoccupied individuals. We want things to line up the right way. And if they don't line up the right way, it irritates us. It really does. And that's the funny thing about being a servant. You don't have the right to be irritated. Okay? Nothing is too base for a servant. Okay? Nothing is too low for a servant. Why? Because a servant is a nobody. A servant is just that. They're a bought property that belongs to somebody else. And I got to tell you, I can't think of anyone else I'd want to be owned by than Jesus Christ. You know, when you put in that category and you say, man, preacher, you're making this sound so bad. You're talking about servanthood. It's all the way throughout the Word of God. But here Jesus is saying, when he begins talking to them and explaining to them what's taking place, he says, hey, the Gentiles, and he goes down to about verse 40 to 45. He says, listen, the Gentiles come, and actually a little bit farther, verse 42. He says, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship. You know how the Gentiles do it. This is their philosophy. If you're in charge, you got all the authority and everybody else does whatever you tell them to do. You're the big kahuna, the boss guy. You're in charge. And no one tells you what to do. That's our philosophy. That's the way we like to live. We like that. Jesus says, you got it all wrong. I don't think you understand. He says, no, no, no. He says, in Christianity, it's the reverse. The greatest are the least. In other words, he says, the greatest are the servants. If you're great and you want to be something in someone, Jesus says, let me help you. You're missing the point. That means you're volunteering to do the worst of the worst. And I can tell you, it's true. I think Brother B told you the wonderful story when I first came as an associate here at Central Baptist Church. And I'm telling you, when you're the associate, what that means is you're a bond slave. You say, what's that mean, preacher? Ask Brother Lynn and Brother Scott. They'll tell you. Everybody goes, man, I love to work at the church. I love to be in that position. Do you really? People think, man, it's a glamorous job. You might want to talk to some people. I can't remember my first or second year, Brother B calls me, I'm going to tell you something right now. I hate crawling under houses. I'll just be honest with you. I hate small places. I am claustrophobic big time. And beyond that, I hate spiders. Okay, when you list things that Pastor Waterloo cannot stand, spiders is like number 1 through 10. Okay, I mean, that's where it is. And then you start with the snake category, okay? It just gripes me something that small can create that much pain, and I can't see it. And I remember getting the phone call, and Brother B calls me and says, hey, Brother John. And you just like, hey, John. Yes, sir, I got a job for you. Come over to such and such. So I get in my car, I drive over to this house, and Brother B's helping a member in the church. And they had a problem, and he had some skill with the electrical wiring, and so it's going to be electrical wiring, which is like number, 15 on down to 25 for me. I hate electricity. So now we have spiders, we have electricity, and we have crawling. Trust me, this is really bad. And I'm standing there, I'm like, what do you need from me? Well, we got ready to crawl into the house, and we realized both of us are too big. And he's looking at me. Now, all I need you to do is take this wire from this end of the house to that end of the house. That's it. That's it. Yep. I get down there. I don't think anyone had been under that house for 50 years. I'm pretty sure there was a mall on the right side of spiders. And over here, who knows what was over here, but I'm looking, it's dark, spider webs all over the place. And literally, I get down in the hole, and I sit there for a second going, I'm going to die. I'm thinking, I wonder, and then you didn't have smartphones, so I couldn't type up a resignation letter at the time. But I'm thinking, I'm going to quit right now. This is horrible. I mean, I'm a minister, for goodness sake. You don't crawl under houses. Brother B goes, what's holding you up? Yes, sir. So here I go, man, I'm crawling. I have never crawled so fast in my life. I determined that maybe if I outran the spiders, I'd be okay. You know what I'm saying? And so, man, I got in there, got to the other side, pulled it up, got it. And I was out of there, man. I have no visual. If I had to redesign underneath, I couldn't do it. You said, why? It was a blur. It was just get there, get the job done, and get out. I can't tell you how many times I got phone calls. I think he told you the infamous story of the lady who lost her ring. I can't remember if he told you that one or not, but it's not a pretty sight. And I'm at home, and church was over, and a lady called and said, I lost my ring. And she said, where do you think you lost it? Well, we checked everywhere. I think I dropped it in the lady's toilet. Mrs. B called me on that one and said, associate pastor? Now, I got to tell you, whenever Mrs. B, the pastor's wife, calls and says, associate pastor, again, you're in a heap of trouble. And she calls, she goes, we have a small little problem. What's that? This lady lost her ring. It's her diamond ring, her engagement ring, and she can't find it. She thinks she dropped it in the toilet. And to make sure that nothing went wrong, she didn't flush the toilet because she thinks it might be in there. And she said, our hands are too big. My first thought was, if I hit my hand against the wall and it swells 10 times beyond, and I do both of them, and I'm thinking, you gotta be kidding me. She goes, I'm really not kidding. We need you back at the church right away. And I'm in the car and I'm going. Now, I'm just telling you this. I want you to know, welcome to ministry. As glamorous as we think it is, and as wonderful as we think it is, and it is, it's a wonderful thing to serve the Lord. But can I tell you, it's not about a position. It's about serving. And serving has some of the base things that take place. And so when you think about this, I want to give you a couple of principles. Principle number one, we are called not to be served, but to serve. Turn with me to John chapter 13 real quick. John chapter 13. We are called not to be served, but to serve. I tell you that because I alluded to it this morning. How often do we walk into church or some activity and our thought is it's all about me? Man, I wonder how many people are going to come, you know, Sunday mornings. I wonder how many people are going to shake my hand. You know, that's really the wrong attitude. You know what the attitude ought to be? I wonder how many hands I can shake. You know, you pull up, you're a little late, and all the front parking places are taken. Oh, man, I got to walk like 10 extra feet. You know, ooh, that's really suffering for Jesus. You know, I'm like, well, either get here earlier, like, really, what's the big deal? You know, but we get irritated over the smallest things that take place because why? We think it's all about me. You walk in, someone's taking your pew. Well, praise God, we got guests that day, amen? Okay, a couple of you don't mind, that's not bad. But people are like, oh, man, I got to sit like a row closer. Oh, this is so bad. You know, really, you know, here's the, and I know it's funny, but at the root of a lot of that is we like to be served. Man, we like it when everything goes our way. Hey, we got food time. Next week, we're doing a dinner on the grounds here. We'll have morning service. We'll have a lunch. By the way, you need to bring something or we're not going to have any food. But anyways, so you bring lunch and we're going to eat. And a lot of people say, you know, pastor, normally I'm the last one to go through. And you say, why? Well, sometimes because I just gab all the time. And but actually, I'll just be honest with you. Unless I'm speaking or have to do something right away, I've purposely designed it that way. You say, why? Because we don't want the philosophy of, boy, because you're in a position, you get to be first at everything and you get to do everything and it's all about you. Now, I really believe it ought to be all about other people. I'm just going to be honest with you. It ought to be about other people. And it doesn't matter if you get through the line and all the good stuff's gone. You're still going to make it. Okay? But see, the mentality is we often come into church and say, what am I going to get out of it? Well, Jesus really is telling us in Mark chapter 10, Mark chapter 9, we go there, John chapter 13. Hey, it's not about what you're going to get out of it. It's what you're going to give to it. You see, it's not about you being served. It's about serving. Now, remember in John chapter 13, we're not going to read all of it, but you might remember this is the part where Jesus does the washing of the feet. You come down to verse 14. Jesus comes in, and verse 12 says, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know you what I have done to you? Ye call me master and Lord, and you say, well, now look at this. He says, I'm not denying that. I am your master. I am your Lord. So he wasn't saying, no, we're all equal. No, he's a master. He's a Lord. Okay? He deserves to be waited on. But can I remind you, when he came in for this meeting, not one disciple, not one servant met him at the door. Now, I realize that's foreign to you. We have a different culture. Back then, it was sandals. Okay? Now, only for those from San Diego understand what I'm talking about, okay? Or Florida. But really, you walked in sandals. Well, when you walk in sandals, your feet get dirty. So customary was, you walked all day, you just got there,
the newest servant, the guy that just got bought, just got hired, he's the one that got the feet work, you know? It wasn't the glamorous job. It was the one where you sat there going, okay, come here. People are talking, ignoring you, putting their feet up, smashing it in the water. It splashes all over you. And you're like, thank you, sir. Oh, thank you. You know, I love you. That was your job. Nobody volunteered for the job, okay? When they came in, they have this meeting, and Jesus noticed nobody stopped. I mean, not one disciple said, hey, who did the feet washing? They all came in, took their spot, and yet someone had to notice, nobody washed my feet. Why didn't someone say, no problem, I'll take care of it? Instead, they waited for someone else to do it. Jesus then gives them this story. He says, what I've just done unto you, look at this, verse 13 and 14. He says, if I then, your Lord, verse 14, and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given unto you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Now, many have misinterpreted that, okay? Many have said, see, we have to do foot washing today. Why don't we do that today? He said we should. No, he said this is an example. The example wasn't the foot washing, folks. The example was the servanthood. Okay? That was a custom in their day. He was showing, in other words, you serve. Well, how do you know that? Look at the next verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. In other words, hey, I'm God, and the servant is not greater than the master. And if the master is willing to serve, then the servant should be willing to serve. Can I remind you? We've been bought with a price. And if God himself would be willing to come on down and to clean dirty feet, then who are we to say anything is too dirty or too bad for us to do? Listen, we ought to thank God we have an opportunity to serve. And I think, I'll tell you what, it'll help your Christianity. And Brother Robin spoke on it this morning. And it's something you got to fight. It really is. It's something you got to fight. But when you start focusing on people and you start doing stuff for people instead of God, it'll mess you up. People aren't always appreciative. People don't always recognize. People don't always see. But I tell you one thing, God does. God never misses it. And we can get our focus shifted back to where it ought to be and realize, hey, I'm coming into service, and I'm here to, number one, to worship God. I'm here to receive from his word, but I'm also here to go do something for somebody else. What can I do to help somebody else? I'm serious. It'll change your worship experience. Or you can come in and say, well, tell you what, I had to park far back there, and I'm going to come in 5 minutes late and, you know, sit in the back, and nobody came back and shook my hand, and I left. Hardly anybody but an usher said hi to me, and don't even care for that church. Nobody even likes me. It's probably not true. Yeah, I'm thinking everyone doesn't hate you. What I'm thinking is you're slipping into a very bad place in your life. And you developed a very worldly, carnal philosophy. And that is, it's all about me, instead of coming in saying, it's all about him. So principle number one, it's not about you being served, it's about serving. Principle number two I see from this passage, we are called not for personal profit, but for his gain. It's not about getting, but giving. Jesus comes in, he's telling them about his death, as we mentioned in Mark chapter 10. He elaborates on all this in verse 33 and 34. We explained this morning, James and John, first thing in their mind, man, that's wonderful. Hey, you're going to die. Okay, what do we get? Want to make sure I shore up this real quick that I'm on the right hand and I'm on the left hand. It's interesting how sometimes we miss the point, okay? You say, what's the point? One of the greatest points of serving is this. Serving, once again, it's not about getting, it's about giving. You really want to know the real thought of a servant? It's, hey, what can I do for my master today? What can I do for my Lord today? How can I come in and help somebody else today? I think, who was it? Brother Steve brought up the passage this morning. He mentioned in his speech that when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. Now, this is Jesus talking. He's saying, hey, listen, if you've come down here, you've given water or bread, or you served the least of these, and he compared it to the nursery, which was great. In other words, you go babysit in the nursery where kids are crying and screaming and there's these things called poopy diapers, you know, and you change them and you send the kid back and you do it with the right spirit and say, man, I'm doing this for God and for those parents so they can hear the word of God. That's called serving. That's called giving, folks. It really is. So now there's all those things that you do. It's about giving instead of receiving. But for some reason, most of us, we like to get instead of give. And that flows into serving. Remember, you might not know the story, but in the book of Acts, I think chapter 8, there's a guy by the name of Simon who supposedly gets saved. And he was known as Simon the Sorcerer. Now, if you remember that story in your Bible reading, you'll also remember that after he made this profession of faith, that's a whole other situation, but after he made that profession, he comes to Peter, I believe it was, and he sees them doing these miraculous things. And Peter says, well, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Simon says, hey, give me some of that. I'll pay you for it. In other words, he goes, hey,
See, he was, when he was a sorcerer, he was a guy who had a position that everybody in the town came to. And when they needed something, they came to the sorcerer. Now, he used tricks and different things like that. But he gotten used to everybody coming to him and kind of having this position, kind of like what James and John want. And so he wanted to be in this position where he would be lifted up once again. And he's thinking, man, this is great. So Simon says, if I can just buy some of that power. Now, listen, not because I really want to help people. No, that wasn't the motive. Well, why did he want the power? Because he wanted the preeminence. You see, in other words, what he's saying, preacher, it wasn't so much about what I can give to people as much as what I can get out of people. Come on, don't some people give just so they can get more from someone else? Sometimes our giving spirit is, let's just be honest, some people serve so they'll be recognized. And can I help you? That's a bad reason to serve. You say, why? You're going to get disappointed pretty quick. You know, I'm telling you, you're going to get burned out pretty quick. You're going to come in and maybe you're on a bus ministry and you show up on a Saturday and there's only a few people here and you go out on that bus ministry and you do it faithfully every single week and some of those dirty, rotten bus people don't even show up. And you never miss a Sunday. And then all of a sudden you see Brother Kyle Murphy talking to one of the other bus workers saying, hey, Nate, great job, man, appreciate you. And you go, he hasn't said that to me all year. Man, I've never missed it. Oh, I realize that's a normal human thing. But boy, if you got the right spirit, usually at that time you can stop and say, you know what, wait a minute, it's not about me anyways. It's about him and it's about others. And I'm going to keep serving if nobody ever says a word. Why? Because serving is really about giving. It's not about receiving. It's not about the accolades. It's not about what I get back. It's about what can I give. Now listen, wouldn't it be nice if we could all develop that mentality that says, hey, it's not about me being served. It's not about me getting. It's about me giving. And then I think if you, last but not least, the third thing that I see here really deals with this realm of humility. You say, what do you mean humility? Well, if you look at it, we are called not for personal profit, but his gain. And that's true. But let me tell you about this, his gain. Real servants have this thing about them that I really like. It's called humility. You say, what do you mean? Well, see, a real servant isn't about the position. A real servant is about what they can do for God. Now, you say, well, preacher, I know this is a church. Well, I know, but I happen to work with people for a living. And I happen to know how this works, okay? I'll be honest, at Central Baptist Church, I almost hate elections every year. I really do. If it was allowed, we wouldn't have elections. Yeah, but see, then you'd call me a dictator, so that wouldn't work. Okay, but really, I'd much rather just everybody be pastor appointed. But that wouldn't solve the problem either, because someone would say, I hate that pastor, he didn't appoint me. But I'll just be honest with you, every time we have elections, I go, oh, man. And I'm just going to tell you my behind-the-scenes prayer as your pastor. Every single time it comes up, I said, Lord, there's going to be some men and women that are going to be disappointed that, A, their name's not on the list, okay, because nobody nominated them, okay? And they're going to be sitting there, and in their normal human situation, they're going to think, I deserve to be on there, okay? Can I just help you with that philosophy real quick? First of all, no one deserves to be on there, okay? It's really not. Secondly, you don't ever want to volunteer to be on there. You say, why wouldn't I want to volunteer to be on there? Let's go back to our story. What's your impression of James and John coming to Jesus going, I'd like to volunteer for the right hand and left hand of Jesus? Do you see humility? Do you see a wonderful spirit? Or do you see, well, you guys are, oh, you arrogant, braggadocious disciples. You really think you deserve that position? You really think you're so close to God? Whoa, wait a minute. I mean, come on. If you're like me, when I read it, I went, whoa. Okay, this is bad. Okay? Now, I realize there's times to volunteer for things, like when the pastor says, we need volunteers for this. Like, hey, we need volunteers to clean up after church. I mean, it's announced, it's okay. But when you start getting positions of leadership, the worst thing you'll ever do is come up and say, I'd like to be a trustee. Yep, I think I can really help this church. Because I'm going to tell you, your pastor, I'm going to go, oh, man, hey, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And it's going to go in the back of my head, and I'm going to go, it ain't happening. You say, why? Because you just scared me to death. You know what happens? Most guys that get in that position, Berlone, I'd like you to be a trustee. Oh, well, really, there's probably other guys that could do this. I know, but either your name was brought up or I prayed about it, we put your name on the list. I know, preacher, but seriously, I don't know. I mean, I'll do whatever you want me to do, and if that's what you want me to do, that's fine, I'll do it. But honestly, I know there's other men more qualified. Well, I appreciate that. But if I call Berlone up and said, man, I'd like you to be a trustee. Whoa, it's about time.
Man, I should have got this phone call about 5 years ago. I always go, whoa. It's not about your personal profit and gain. Matter of fact, at Central Baptist Church, we've always said it's never about a title. It's never about a title. I don't understand why people have to have a title to serve. The fact of the matter is you should never have to have a title to serve. You see something needs to be done, you ought to do it.
Yeah, but I don't have the nameplate.
No one does. We burned them all.
Yeah, but I want that title, you know, like bus director.
Talk to Brother Kyle. He'll give it to you.
I don't know why I didn't get to go up and speak. I'd like to be the maintenance guy in charge of everything.
Talk to Brother Robin. I'm pretty sure he'd hand you the books real quick.
Or the vacuum cleaner. He'd go, oh, come on down.
I mean, it's funny, but people think, oh, yeah.
Well, I'd love to be the associate pastor and the youth director.
That always cracks me up, too. Can I just pause real quick? This is free. I appreciate people coming to the church and wanting to minister. But seriously, working with the teens is not gravy. Okay, usually when someone volunteers to work with the teens, my first thought is, you're brain dead. You obviously don't know what working with teens is all about.
Oh, it's a blast. You go to Six Flags and you just have fun all the time.
Okay, you got the job. I give them a month. But see, people going, oh, man, it's just so much fun to work with teens. You don't get it, do you? You don't get the phone calls, the moods, the temperaments, they're teenagers. Need I say any more? You say, what are you saying, preacher? People don't get it. I'm looking at James and John, and it's not just them. Go back to Mark chapter 9 real quick. We'll try to sum all this up for you. Go back to Mark chapter 9. As we get mad at James and John, they're not the only culprits. Oh, where is it? I think it's on down to verse 15. Nah, I got to look at my note. 33, okay. Mark chapter 9, you go down to verse 33. And he came to Capernaum. Now, this is a previous chapter of Mark 10, okay? And being in the house, he asked them, what is it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? Now, once again, this is the disciples. This is the
servants, the diaconos, the doulos, the men that are there to serve, give their lives for the cause.
Okay, verse 34. But they held their peace. Why'd they held their peace? Now, God just said, hey, what were you guys arguing about? By the way, can I clarify? He knew. It's kind of like Mark chapter 10 when he said, what is your question? What do you want? He knew. He just wanted them to verbalize it. Okay, yeah, tell us. Well, they held their peace. I bet you did. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves, well, you know, who should be the greatest? Obviously, it wasn't resolved because by the time we get to Mark chapter 10, we got two of them bringing mommy up to Jesus. Saying, hey, I think it should be us. And they had argued the whole time. Jesus corrected them. They still didn't get it. Look what Jesus says, verse 35. And he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, I love this. He sat down and said, come here. Come here. They all sit down. He says this. If any man desire to be first, the same shall be the last of all and servant of all. You want to have the prominent position? You want the name tag? You want to be remembered at Central Baptist Church? Great. Start doing the dirty work. Because I'll tell you this much. I believe my God knows who's got the right heart and the right spirit and the right attitude. And in due time, if you deserve some position name, in due time, it is he that will lift you up. And if he doesn't lift you up, he's not ready for you to be lifted up. And it's not, well, what do I do? You keep serving. Well, nobody knows. It's okay. Pretty sure God knows. And I'm pretty sure if we're going to model real disciples and we're going to model a picture of a real servant, it comes down to this. I'm willing to do anything, anytime, anywhere. So let me elaborate. Pastor stands up, a leader, somebody stands up and says, listen, we got to get this done. We need some volunteers. You shouldn't think, gee, that's not a fun job. Really, can I just be honest with you? If we have a servant spirit, there ought to be so many people volunteering that we go, no, we got enough. No, we're totally fine. Look, folks, okay, listen. Whoa. We only need about 5 guys. We had 30 volunteers. Thank you, but we're just going to take the first 5. Really, that's the way it ought to be. On everything that takes place, there ought to be such a spirit that says, hey, somebody needs something? Hey, I'm there. Why? Because it's about serving. It's not about me getting. It's not about a position. It's about serving. When that spirit develops, I'm telling you something, then those who are last become first. Because the first shall be last, the last shall be first. And he reminds us in this connotation, gentlemen, it's not about your position, and it's not about you. It's all about him, and it's all about others. As we remind you today, and we're getting ready to go in and sign up for some ministries, understand this.
You're not signing up to serve with somebody here. You're signing, and you will, but you're signing up to serve him. And if you do it every single week for a year, and you never get a pat on the back, and you never get a praise, and you never get a thank you, I hope you remember, it's okay, because you're just a bond slave. And last I checked, in slavery days, you didn't get a lot of thank yous as a slave. Because last I checked, it was expected. Can I conclude with this? How often do we give a lot of thanks for that which is just expected? Okay? Let me explain. I realize we should be thankful in all things. I understand what the Bible says. But most of the time when it comes down to appreciation, I probably don't thank my wife enough for the meals that she cooks. I don't thank my wife enough that when I go to my closet, my laundry's ready. Okay? Now, I'm pretty sure I'd notice if it wasn't there. Usually at that time, you hear the griping. Amen? On the reverse side, she doesn't thank me a whole lot for earning money and paying the bills. Okay? I'm not saying she never has. But really, I don't expect her. I don't expect her to come in every day and go, oh, thank you, you got a job. Woo! Thank you, honey. Why? Well, it's kind of expected man should work and have a job, amen? I mean, it is. What are you saying, preacher? Well, if it's just something that's expected, I understand, stay with me here, I understand it's okay to thank people for that. But the reality of it is, if it's their job and they're expected to do it, what's the big deal? It's really, what's the big deal? I understand we're sensitive people and sometimes we want the pat on the back, we want the praise. But you're expecting, now let's take it a level down. What if you're a slave and you were bought and you were property and you have to work? How many slaves you think got thank you for doing the laundry? Thank you for cooking the meals. Now, we rarely get it at this level. You think a slave ever got it? Rare thing. And yet God said, that's the word servant that I put in the Word of God. And when you're here to serve me, understand this. I got a whole other message on it. Understand God will reward and God will bless because he is God. But the fact of the matter is this, we ought to serve him because of what he's done for us and not because we deserve anything. And if we never get noticed, we never get a position, we ought to say, it's okay. It's the least I can do for the one who did everything for me. That's the servanthood we need to remember every year. So tonight as we go in there, sign up. I ask you to pray about it, choose what God wants you to do and get involved and just do your best. And if you don't like it, tell your leader, we'll put you in another job. We'll find a dirtier job for you, amen? But the fact of the matter is this. I hope you understand it's not about us. It's all about him. But I can guarantee this. If you develop a servant spirit and you start serving, it'll transform your Christian life. It really will. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you now. And Lord, as we spend some time in fellowship tonight, Lord, some basic principles of serving. Lord, we're reminded that it's not about us. It is all about you. And Lord, what you do for us and what you will do. And Lord, I pray that you help us have the right humble spirit, the right giving spirit, and Lord, just the right serving spirit. Too often, Lord, we have adapted the world's philosophy. And Lord, we want a position in order to get involved and do something. And Lord, that's just not necessary. Lord, we ought to just be here to do whatever you want in whatever capacity, not caring about our own dignity, about our own wants, our own desires, just getting it done for you and your house and even your people. Because by doing it to the least of these, we're doing it for you. And Lord, we need to be reminded of that. I know I need to be reminded of it. And Lord, so I pray to help us remember, Lord, that we've been bought with a price. And we thank you for buying us. We thank you for saving us. Lord, I can't thank you enough for all that you've done. And now, Lord, help us to serve you with the right spirit and the right way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll stand. Just have a short invitation. If you need a short time to come and pray tonight, maybe even you're praying about, Lord, what ministry could I do? Lord, would you help reveal it to me as I walk around to the tables? It'd be a good time to do that. We won't labor long. We'll have a couple verses, and then we'll head right into our fellowship time and hope you can be a part of that. But those are singing page 159, Jesus, I Come. Jesus, I Come. Sing it with us, page 159.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. If you have opportunity to visit Ponca City, we invite you to be present in our worship services. We're located just 1 mile north of the city, at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. We'd like a chance to say welcome in person. But until that time, God bless you, have a great week, and thanks again for listening.